Welcome to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast, where we try to figure out if it would be possible to run Westworld as an actual business. This exercise will cover the entire show, so please be aware spoilers will follow. Also, this is a discussion about running Westworld as a functioning business. It is not a criticism of the story itself, as we do understand there's dramatic license at work here. Please don't send us hate mail.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast. Today we're going to be talking about process. Now, it's a little more nebulous than some of our other subjects, so we'll be diving more into process around some of our failures. First, we'll be talking about what is a good process versus a bad one. We'll give credit where credit is due, you know, what they've done right, and then we'll dive into the failures that we've seen, how they could be better handled, and also prostitution. Tom, what's a good process versus a bad process?
So we actually have done our homework on this one, I think, a little bit. So I'm going to read through some of the notes that we took beforehand. And we've got some just really key things here, right? It should be a good process should be clear. Everybody should be able to understand it. Simple. You know, obviously, the more steps or the more complicated the process, you know, the more opportunities you're giving for failures to occur. Repeatable. You don't want to have any real variability in your processes because, again, we're adding in more ways that things can go wrong. Safe. We don't need to add any other risks than are already part of our experience with guests. Or we've got guns and all kinds of live fire type of things going on in the park. So why add in more risks? Everything needs to be as safe as possible. And then kind of the last thing I wrote down, going back to what we've talked about in the past, is there a way to make things more automated, more automatic, so that maybe we don't even have to be part of the processes? The park can kind of help run itself. So I think that was kind of our main points. And I think if we take that and try to switch it around, or at least look at the show, following those guidelines, what were maybe some of the things that they have done the right way? Chris?
Well, if I have to take that list into account, I'd say not much.
It's fair.
Right. I believe it at a core level, how they handle their production rollouts slightly works as a clear process. They clearly take their time, make sure that they are not having any major issues in production as they're doing a gradual rollout, a rolling rollout, if you will, into their production environment. However, that's pretty much where the successes begin and end, as far as I'm concerned. We've seen that as soon as something goes wrong with that, the whole rest of the process falls apart. They have slightly touched on the fact that a rollback is hugely involved. They panicked about having to recall hosts to do that, and it when your rollback process is let's bring it back and blow it up or wipe it clean, like we kind of botched the rollout to your Android phone. What do we do? Just brick it, bring it back, we'll wipe the thing from scratch and flash it again and hey, we fixed it. Like, that is not a proper approach. And it gets worse. I mean, you look at the failure handling, right? Because that's, you can easily document the strengths of a process by how you handle failure at each step along the way, right? That's probably going to dive down a little bit deeper. But as soon as the process starts to come apart, if it keeps snowballing, you didn't have a very good process to begin with. And I think we have extensive examples of this. Now, granted, I'm fully understanding that there's a lot of dramatic license at work in the show that probably contributes to the fact that if this process worked perfectly well, not much of a show to see. Like, oh, we went to the park and everything went fine and ta-da! Roll credits.
Yeah. Your point about, you know, what happens when your Android phone bricks is actually kind of interesting, because right now, at least today, I've got a real-world example for you. If your Apple Watch bricks, literally there's nothing you can do. You take it to the store and the Apple store, and they go, all right, well, we need to get you a new one. That's it.
So it's the equivalent of taking the hose down to cold storage, throwing it in the corner, and then like, yeah, we'll kick the new one out the door.
So you've heard it here, folks. Your Apple Watch is actually a host.
Well, so, that's not as bad as the Reveries, though.
That's true.
When they roll back the Reveries, the old memories are still there. The new code is just running in the background. It seems like all of the safety or any handling around it is just totally gone. It's not like rolling back an application at all.
So maybe rolling back was a generous term. They used the term rollback.
That's true. They did.
It probably doesn't follow the dictionary definition of rollback.
When does any software process follow the dictionary definition?
The fact that I'm unable to give you an example off the top of my head is probably not reassuring.
Something you always work at startups.
Right. Right. Thanks.
You're welcome. So, Pat, I think we've got a bunch of other examples here about failures that have happened and maybe things that haven't been tracked the right way. What do you think?
Yeah. So since most of the evidence that we have, you know, pulled from the show that we've seen is related to failures, a lot of the rest of the process that they go through is sort of hidden to us. But the failures are really prominent because they feature so strongly into where the show goes. So most of the changes to process or general rules for process, I think, that we identified relate to failures. Like, if you have a failure, you should track it. Chris, I think it was you who noted before that Maeve, the host running the...
Bordello.
Bordello, thank you. Is able to ignore and come out of sleep mode, and the techs just, you know, recover her and completely ignore the issue. It's not apparently a concern to them that this is something that can occur, and instead they just sort of sweep it under the rug. What an incredible thing to do. And you got to wonder if this was in a real business, and of course not a thing driven by a dramatic license, how many other times has this happened where people just ignore this thing, that they just sometimes wake up and go wandering the building?
Yeah, to the point where right when that happened, they were freaked out, like in the show, right? The body techs were freaked out, but it wasn't, oh my God, the world has come to an end. It seemed like they had maybe dealt with it before, to your point of how often does this happen? And it's obviously not being reported to anyone. Otherwise, this would be kind of a stop the presses. We need to, you know, get everybody on this and fix it right away.
Yeah, plus I think we've seen Maeve go to the body techs on 5 separate occasions where she wasn't in sleep mode.
So you're saying the failure was repeatable?
Yes. So repeatable that when the techs walked into the bordello and they froze everybody, Maeve was unfrozen. She was just like clutching a knife ready to cut somebody.
Oh, when they went to go pick up Clementine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that she stayed in a non-shutdown mode, non-frozen, and nothing alerted probably goes back to some of the monitoring failures, which just kind of keep exacerbating the situation more and more. But you're right. It's a continued failure process.
So I want to take us back just a moment there. There was a joke that you had made, Chris, about a repeatable failure. And some of our listeners may not be from QA. They may not really understand why that's such a big deal. Could you go into that for a sec?
Right. So as an anecdotal piece of data, the plural of anecdote is data, right? I think at some point in time, any failure that's ever been reported across, not just technology, if it's not reproducible, then it's very hard to track that down. If you are, for the sake of my own experiences, if you're a developer that is being told by someone that there is a defect in something that you've written, if you can't reproduce the failure ever, and all you can say is, well, it happened this one time, but I can't really tell you what I was doing, I can't really tell you what the state of the environment was, okay, we're going to go fishing and hope we find that in the future. When you have something like the body text did, where we have the exact same circumstances, where the behavior is repeating itself, it's time to document that. It's kind of the epitome of good process, is making sure that we can demonstrably report those kind of failures so that we can prevent them from continuing to repeat themselves. You want to be able to explain away and address repetitive failures, not let the failures automate themselves, for lack of a better term. Like, yeah, we're really bad at automating things, but we're just going to automate this failure process because we know we're good at that. We can let that run on its own. Congratulations, Westworld. You've succeeded.
Yeah.
So maybe tying into the how important repeatability is to fixing a bug is sort of the point that was at the beginning, that you have to track failures. You don't know if it's repeatable if you don't know if it's happened once or a dozen times. And probably tying into that is the next area, which is all failures need to be fully investigated.
Yeah, if you don't investigate a failure, you're running the risk of this happening again. You're never going to find the root cause of why a failure is happening. And one of the problems with Westworld is nothing is ever fully investigated. And it's exacerbated by both... who's the co-founder? What was it?
Arnold.
Arnold, yes. Arnold's code still coming up, and there was a commit log that was showing that Arnold had made a change. Arnold's been dead for like 34 years. But it comes out to Ford is just creating all kinds of problems for the company. He's running the company, but he's also coding, which is a big mistake on its own. But anytime there's a problem, he just kind of brushes it off. Like, yeah, I know.
And again, I think part of it is, we keep coming back to this, I think the process failures alone lend themselves much more to the credence of, like, again, dramatic license if we didn't have it. But you're hitting on all those notes. There are significant things that from the top down, like, that's where process is driven from, right? It's the hierarchy has to support it every single step of the way. If you don't have your top executives of the company supporting the clear processes, the proper processes, the person at the end of the chain is not going to adopt them. There's no point in body tech, clearly demonstrating repeatable failures that he's seeing, when it's almost well known that the guy that runs the company is just kind of cowboying in whatever the hell he feels like. It's a cultural thing that is going to be impacted across the board.
Right. And with the repeatability, right, if you can come in and establish, okay, this is something that happens 100% of the time, it's going to take priority, right? Everything that you're going to do from a software side, even from the business side, is going to be in, hopefully, in a priority order. And all the issues that we have, I can guarantee if we have, you know, something where someone says, this happens, I got it to happen one time, versus maybe you come in and say, oh no, this bug I've got here, 100% of the time, I can get into this state. I can guarantee that something like that would get prioritized over the little fishing expedition, like you said, just about every single time. Now, that being said, you know, we've all worked in companies where the VP comes in and says, no, you need to fix this now, versus some other bug that maybe you think takes other priority. But if we have a repeatable process for bug tracking or establishing essentially a priority of things, then everything is going to run smoother. So we can actually, you know, make improvements to the park, change things for the better, rather than just trying to play catch up the whole time.
I think we may have glossed over a little bit in the past, but it comes to mind a little bit stronger there. We briefly touched on it, but I think the clarity in that process specifically, in your reporting and documenting of failures, becomes huge. If we're still talking about, I want to be able to demonstrate the repeatability, if you're not clear in how you're documenting that. If you're not capturing that information, whether it be through logging or in someone retracing the steps that something happened, however that comes about, you need that so that people can make the proper assessments about priority. If you leave out half the details of, say, it happens 75% of the time, it may not look like a major issue, but it could get reprioritized if it's something that happens all the frickin' time.
Yeah.
If we're leaving out some of those details or we're not capturing some of that information, it's really hard to make educated decisions about what needs to be fixed. How do you create the process around that?
That was really well put.
I do have some moments of brilliance. Thank you.
I just see it here in the notes, but before we get too far along this way, I just want to say when you talked about the Apple Watch and the thing is just totally bricked, you got to like take it back. Westworld had something like that too, where they tried to incarcerate the failing host instead of studying the problem. Like, that is just an amazing. They're like, well, we screwed up. Better start over.
And put them all in the basement.
Yeah.
So we have these Wi-Fi connected things that seem to be malfunctioning. Let's just throw them all in the same room. See what happens.
Preferably unattended for long periods of time, in a place that regularly floods, and something good will happen.
But don't worry, they're all in sleep mode, and we know that works 100% of the time.
That's good,
right?
Yeah. Bringing it around. That might be a good time then for us to move on to the last process point we had related to failures, is that if you fix them, you should actually make sure that your fix did what you think it did. In fact, you should test it, right?
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd explain it to the product owner.
Oh, okay. Fair.
For, you know, laymen and product owners.
Ah, there you go. Thank you.
So the tie-in that we have here is that I think this is in the second episode. Maeve is trying to seduce a guest, and there's Elsie, the behavior tech, and I think, is it two people in narrative? You know, they go back and forth a little bit, messing with her configuration. The narrative techs are, they just slap some config changes and send her back out, but they don't actually know that the changes that they made are going to fix the problem. They just sort of cross their fingers and bye-bye. And they have apparently no better way of telling that their changes are going to be effective. What an amazing way to not actually fix the problem. And we get to see later that they actually make it worse, but she's driving away customers, right? See, I did say we were going to get to prostitution. So
nicely done.
Here we are, yeah.
Why did everyone just look at me? I think that we could probably talk and may indeed talk for quite some time about testing and prod. But that is clearly a failure point. It's if you're not going back to validate any of that, and I think that's just one example, but most of anything that they do, any config change that we see at any given point in time, there's no verification around. We don't know, to take it back to a software testing approach, it doesn't look like anything's unit tested. It doesn't really look like they're doing any sort of regression testing. They're just kind of saying, I mean, we pushed some code and we didn't kill a guest, so
ship it.
Well, it's written in React. React isn't strong enough to actually kill somebody.
So, okay, so we're talking about process.
Unclench that fist, Chris.
So we're supposed to be talking about process, so let's dig into that one a little bit, right? So there's a bunch of reasons why they could be doing that, right? That being the shotgun approach of let's just tweak these things and throw her back into the park and call it a day. You know, one being that they, you know, maybe they're just under the time pressure of she's a very important host given all the narratives that are running. We need to get her back into the park. I mean, I think that's a valid opinion or a valid stance, but then you could look at it saying, well, if we have all these hosts in cold storage that essentially haven't done anything, we can make an assumption that hosts probably are not too expensive. Why isn't there a backup, right, that we can send in her place when we need to pull her off the world and do some maintenance to her.
And I'm very glad that you added that caveat, because I was about to come at you full bore. I would like to twist it just a hair too.
Go for it.
I don't think that we would even need to reach the point where you need to throw her in cold storage while you're doing the evaluation and pull something out to start testing it. If you want to make the kind of changes that Pat had mentioned before, you're talking about walking machines that carry a whole host of data that you should be able to make some conclusions based off of. If you have any sort of analytics going on, you should be able to know to some degree what those changes are going to do. You should have data around how all of her behavior was handled previously. You know, it's the A-B testing for brothels, right?
I think that's an entirely different business, but okay.
Yeah, but it's applicable anywhere. I mean, if you have data that shows where your success rates are for given demographics, for given actions, you can start predicting what the response is going to be moving forward. The A-B testing was kind of a joke, but it's not entirely. Yeah. I mean, if you take, for example, an e-commerce system, A-B testing is huge in those, because you can start demonstrating, if we start introducing other options for our user base, what gets the proper behavior, in that case, like clicks. So you can start tracking the way that that's going to work out. You should be able to do the same thing with the host, even the ones that are doing more mundane jobs and having more mundane interactions with the guests. You should be able to assume or predict what your responses are going to be.
You are absolutely correct. Everything is prostitution in one way or another, and selling something on Amazon is...
can't even get it out. Wow, you're the funniest person you know, Archie.
No, but really, it's not special in the fact that it shouldn't be held to the same standards of going through that sales funnel. You should be able to predict your sales cycle. You should know, like, on this date, this is where we previously were. This is the range we expect. And with these changes, we expect like a 3% increase in being able to close that sale.
If it worked for the oldest profession, it should work for all professions. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I just like the idea of having a dashboard of number of guests who have banged a host today. And after you make a change, you want to make sure that that number went up. Right, that's essentially what you're saying, is we want to track the progress. We want to make sure that it's at least a steady state, if not on the increase. That's a hell of a metric.
Yeah, we're downward trending. I think we messed that one up.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I mean, given the interconnected nature of everything in the park, that might not necessarily be as cut and dried as we're making it out to be. I mean, we could say, oh, we're seeing a decline in the number of people that are going to this particular worker at the brothel, but we're seeing a huge uptick in another set of storylines.
That's fair. That's a good point.
I mean, it goes back to, like, proper testing of all those flows is going to make sure that you're taking the entire system into account rather than just one unit. But you should be able to see how it impacts all of them. Your dashboard should be able to see, if you see that suddenly you're seeing a decline in all of the storylines across the board, something's wrong there. You might need to look at it at more of an isolated view to handle the specific areas. You could say, you know, out in the wilderness, this one storyline is not working out so well. No. We're seeing a decline there, while seeing a decline at the brothel, while seeing a decline in people getting into gunfights coming off the train, whatever the case may be.
I think you're correct, but Westworld doesn't have this kind of information. When they say, hey, where's that host? They're like, oh, I don't know.
I think that opens up a whole nother can of worms that we'll be discussing. We have to.
You're right.
I mean, it's a whole...
There should be a monitoring-based episode coming.
There definitely will be a yes. monitoring based episode coming. I guarantee it.
Just after I've written the outline. To find out more about this podcast and for the show notes of this episode, please go to dollarsandcentsofwestworld.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dollarsandcentsofwestworld and on Twitter at _DASOW.